org today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
This is theoretically hour number two of the Paracast, our guest Stanton T. Friedman, and we're catching up on UFOs, the state of UFO knowledge, research, etc. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. And before Chris takes over with a bunch of questions, including questions that are being asked in our own forums, I'm going to ask you, Stan, about 2010 in the UFO field. Do you think that such events as the publication of Leslie Kane's book, with it becoming a bestseller, do you think that's helping more and more people take the subject and the research seriously?
Yeah, I mean, I've been lecturing for 44 years this year. I've only had 11 hecklers and over 700 lectures, and two of them were drunk, so people have already been taking this subject seriously. But yes, I think Leslie's book, the Nukes and UFOs press conference, and the accompanying material in the press, I think these are good things. Yes, I do. And I think they're moving us in the right direction. It's going to take a while. I'll give you another something you probably don't know about. Later this month, January 23rd, 24th, 25th, in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, which is a heck of a long way from here, and even further from you. I'm in New Brunswick, Canada, for people who wonder about such things. Another time zone, the east of the eastern time zone. Well, Riyadh's a lot further east than that. Anyway, there will be the 5th annual Global Competitiveness Forum. With all kinds of, Bill Gates was at the first one and all kinds of other people. And this year, I will be one of 5 people in a panel, Innovation and UFOs. The admission to this conference is $4,000. Now, that's a sign of recognition that maybe there's something going on here. I'll tell you the other people, Michel Kaku, Dr. Jacques Vallée, Nick Pope, myself, and an Arab scholar who I haven't been able to find out anything useful except he's mixed up with the UN and he's a scientist. And we will have 75 minutes to do a panel. There are a whole bunch of panels. There's 120-some speakers. Last year, Tony Blair was a speaker. This year, Jean Chrétien, who was Prime Minister of Canada for a number of years, will be one of the panelists, the head of Disney, all kinds of. It's a real all-star thing. I am honored to be there. And when a group like that decides to include a topic like this, then, you know, somebody is doing some thinking. This is an official Saudi Arabian government-sponsored event. And I'm looking forward to it, partly because it's going to be a lot warmer there than it is here in Fredericton, New Brunswick.
Congratulations.
Yeah, and I say it not to brag about me, because I have no idea what led to my invitation, but to say that it's a very high-powered group when I look at the list of speakers, men and women from all over the world, and that Bill Gates was in that first group of speakers and so forth. But it does mean some people are thinking, you know, out of the box, if you will. And I think more will happen. I think I'm hopeful that there will be, I've been contacted by 3 or 4 different people in the last couple of months, old timers who think it's time to speak out. And so I'm trying to make sure that I'm not being led down the garden path. You know, they know all about this or all about that. Well, I've heard that story before. But it may be we're just getting to the point where people are fed up. As a matter of fact, I just got, just read it this morning, a survey done by a guy in New York, or on the East Coast anyway. And it was attitudes about Roswell. They did this survey of over 1,000 people, and they asked them 43 questions. And do you believe in Roswell and not believe and strongly believe, you know, strongly disbelieve? It was a complex survey. And the guy who did it, and his name was unpronounceable, and I don't have it in front of me, but it showed that much apparently to somebody's surprise, the number of believers is very high out there, and the ratio of believers to non-believers. A whole bunch of fascinating things. If you believe in psychic and paranormal stuff, guys, you're more likely to believe that Roswell involved an alien spacecraft and there's a government cover-up and so forth. And a lot of interesting data, which will come as a shock to some people. And, you know, you're never going to convince anybody about UFOs. That's certainly not my goal. There are still flat earthers out there, if you will. But the point is to have, you know, a majority of the people think well about this subject, which I think they do already. I've never had any eggs thrown at me.
Well, wait till next year.
I realize that. Let's hope I'm still around. That's a good thing. But, you know, let me go back to something, too, that one of the biggest problems ufology has is the noisy negativism, the nasty noisy negativism of the SETI and astronomical communities in general. SETI, you know, silly effort to investigate and so forth. These guys are really caught in a bind. If aliens are visiting, who the heck needs to listen with a radio telescope? And one of the problems we have with them is not only that they don't refer to the evidence about UFOs, the five large-scale scientific studies I talk about, but they seem totally unaware, of the fact that there's a huge research and development community, I know it's hard to believe, outside of academia. I've had two people tell me, hey, if Roswell had happened, they'd have had to get scientists from half the campuses in the country to deal with that. And I say, you've got to be kidding. What do you think the Manhattan Project was? So Los Alamos had 8,000 people working there. The stealth fighter was developed not at a university, but in secret at a cost of $10 billion by Lockheed. And don't tell me about wasted money. What I'm saying is that there are plenty of R&D people who were readily available in 1947 at Los Alamos, at Sandia, at Hanford, at Oak Ridge, and a whole bunch of companies who were ready, willing, and able and had the finest equipment. I worked under security for 14 years, and one of the nice things was that they weren't penny-pinching. I was doing experiments using expensive equipment, expensive materials. Well, GEANP, Aircraft Nuclear Propulsion Department, which most people have never heard of course, but it existed between 1956 and 1961. I worked there between 55, really. I worked there for 3 years. In 1958, we only spent $100 million that year. We employed 3,500 people. 1,100 of them were engineers and scientists. This wasn't academia. All the technical reports I wrote were classified. And they weren't done under university auspices.
Well, that brings up the whole subject of compartmentalization, classification.
Sure.
How much do you think that the United States government truly knows about UFOs and is not disclosing it to the public? That's above some sort of classification level for disclosure.
Well, remember, there are two things that are most important here: need to know, and the having an appropriate clearance. Having an appropriate clearance isn't enough to get you access to everything that, for example, is top secret. You have to have a need to know. I couldn't get access. When I was working on radiation shielding for nuclear airplanes, I had a Q clearance, and I read in classified abstracts about work being done by the nuclear Navy on radiation shielding for nuclear submarines. But I couldn't get access to those classified reports. I couldn't get a need to know. Admiral Rickover said, nobody from the outside finds out what we're doing.
Especially Stan Friedman, because we're paranoid about him. I'm kidding.
Well, the government, what I'm saying is, it's not the government that keeps secrets. It's individual organizations, individual groups, the CIA, the NSA, the DIA, the NRO, the whole alphabet.
Right, and they're compartmentalized within each of these specific organizations as well.
Oh, yeah, so, I was going to say, that's just the beginning.
So could there ever be truly a disclosure like the exopolitics people are crowing about? I guess Weber's now saying that we're going to have an announcement by Obama, and it's just around.
Have you heard that before?
I'll tell you what, we've heard that all the time, but gentlemen, we have to hear this. We have Stan Friedman joining us. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Hi, this is Tamar from Namecheap. We're a domain name and web hosting company, and we really care about our customers. With domain name purchases, Namecheap offers free SSL and free WhoisGuard for a year to protect your identity from spammers. Most importantly, we care about you. If you'd like to learn more, please visit us at radio.namecheap.com, radio.namecheap.com for web hosting and domain name specials. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Namecheap or become a fan of ours on Facebook at facebook.com/Namecheap. See you online.
Fate Magazine provides true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate Magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms. I get it. You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
If you own a septic system or if you're facing costly septic system replacement, this message is for you. When you want to stop paying for pump outs and avoid backups, when you've had enough of the foul odors and costly repairs, use BioSafe One Septic Solution. Now there's an easy to use 100% guaranteed answer to all your septic system problems. BioSafe One Septic Solution. BioSafe One is patented and made specifically for all septic systems and made by the same team of scientists who helped clean up the Exxon Valdez oil spill. BioSafe One decontaminates and removes sludge. Stops costly pump outs and repairs and removes septic system stench, all with a 100% success rate. See what gives BioSafe One Septic Solution the advantage over any other septic product at BioSafeOne.com. That's BioSafeOne.com. BioSafeOne.com. Or call toll free 1-866-424-6663. That's 1-866-424-6663. BioSafe One, the guaranteed bio-friendly, money-saving way to clean your septic system.
I'm concerned about food for my family in the event of an emergency, and I know you are too. Are you ready? Don't wait for an emergency to happen. Put a plan together now with quality dehydrated food from Ready Reserve Foods. For nearly 40 years, Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, canning the finest in dehydrated foods. Other companies just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, controlling quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packing for maximum shelf life. Ready Reserve offers a balanced selection of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, proteins, and grains. Choose from a variety of pre-selected units or order by individual can to customize your own plan. When you purchase from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Call today for a free catalog, 1-800-453-2202, or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Call 1-800-453-2202. Ready Reserve Foods. Factory direct, wholesale pricing.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you want to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out on iTunes.
We have Stanton T. Friedman joining us. I'm Gene Steinberg. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. You're in the Paracast, and the question being, of course, we've heard from the exopolitics people and others, disclosures coming yesterday, today, tomorrow, whenever. So what do we say about that, Stan?
Well, I'm not a fan of the exopolitics movement or of the disclosure group or any of those things. I think they really don't understand national security. They don't understand the need for security. I don't want everything put out on the table. What if we've, I'll pick two things. We figured out a better means of propulsion for vehicles able to deliver nuclear weapons. Or we figured out a better means for detecting things moving in the atmosphere than, say, radar. They can cloak. We know how to cloak stealth fighters and so forth and don't respond, if you will, don't show up on radar systems unless you're particularly clever. What if we develop such things? Should we put it out on the table where Osama can buy it? He's got the money. I don't think so. And, you know, that's another aspect of the SETI guys. They don't seem to understand that there is a national security aspect. If we pick up a signal from somebody out there, we'll tell everybody. Sure, and who cares? That's very different from saying, oh, landed three blocks over, abducted two people, brought them back a day later.
And mutilated a cow.
Yeah, all at the same week, you know, they were serving these kids good steak sandwiches, the people that were abducted.
No, lipinized stew.
But what I'm getting at is that I am for the world's governments making an announcement that indeed the planet is being visited and we are sponsoring international conferences to deal with the religious, economic, sociological, and political implications of this. But, you know, there isn't anybody who speaks for planet Earth. That's what's so funny about all those. Well,
wait a minute. No, no,
White
no,
House.
No. Stephen Greer is our ambassador to the universe. So
you
stand corrected, Stan.
Maybe it's the wrong universe. We have to ask him which universe he's talking about.
He would like to be, but it's kind of funny. When Paul Kimball made Stanton T. Friedman Is Real, a documentary for the television here in Canada, he tried to talk to Steve and wound up with nothing useful. This was at a MUFON conference in Southern California, because Steve didn't want to talk about anything but Steve, you know, how it goes.
Well, he's been on the ships. He knows, quote unquote.
Well, yeah, I know. And what I'm saying is I don't think that these movements have done a lot of good. I do a monthly column for the MUFON Journal and UFO Magazine, and I did one on Weber's book. And I was very unimpressed, to say the least. He makes all kinds of statements having no evidence whatsoever, you know, that the whole planet is being run by extraterrestrials out there, power structure, and all the rest of this stuff. So now, there is an interesting book, After Disclosure, by Richard Dolan and Bryce Zabel, which, you know, what's going to happen if there is disclosure? What will change? What won't change? And so forth. And interestingly, I mentioned that these public opinion polls about who believes in Roswell. The strongest believers were Catholics, which I found very fascinating.
You mean Jews don't believe in Roswell?
That's right, by comparison. I mean, just because I got the research started I don't get credit for it. Yeah. that was one of many interesting things. The guy's going to make a book out of it, and it should be fascinating. But I was surprised at the religious thing. I guess the idea is if you can believe in an unseeable, unknowable, untouchable God, then to believe something happened. Roswell is not so far out. The governments keep secrets, et cetera, et cetera. It was quite fascinating. But, speaking of After Disclosure and Bryce Zabel, incidentally, there's another event that may take place this year. Bryce's outfit, he's a Hollywood wheel. He's the guy who did Dark Skies.
Yeah, that was a very intriguing show.
Yeah, well, it includes some MJ-12 and all this kind of stuff. Anyway, his company has bought the rights to My Life and Don Schmidt's life and to Don's book with Tom Carey called Witness to Roswell and my book, Top Secret Magic. And the idea is to look at the difficulties and triumphs of researchers on MJ-12, on Roswell, the times when things look terrible, things look good. And, you know, it'll be a combination of, all the president's men and JFK. How's that? Dynamic, strong. Who's going to play Stan Friedman? Richard Dreyfuss.
There you go.
Well, they're working as we speak on the screenplay.
Just think, though, that the actor who played Dick Cheney in the movie W would play Stanton Friedman. That's strange.
That would really be strange.
Yeah, now that you mention it, oh, boy. Well, here's one for you, Stan. This is a question.
The title, let me give the title of that. It's called Magic Men, M-A-J-I-C.
Ooh. Yeah, coin a term there. I like that. So we're soon going to see the dramatization of your 44-year career. Are they going to start out when you're a little kid and wondering at the sky and then end up with you speaking in the palace?
44 years ago, I was a working physicist. Don't forget, I'm an old guy. That's 44 years ago, I gave my first lecture already. My interest began 53 years ago. I don't know where they're going to start. I do know that it will include, of course, the fact that I worked under security, worked in government places, I mean, government programs. Admittedly, there are guys out there who say Friedman works for the CIA. I just got something saying he ends every lecture saying there ought to be a world government, which is totally untrue. But you can't control what people say about you. You know, what you can do is do your best and hope that enough people recognize that and get on with it. If you got a thin skin, this is the wrong business.
Oh, boy.
I mean, boy, you guys know that.
Ain't that the truth? We have some questions from our forums here that I'd like to get to. There's some pretty interesting ones here. You know, we were talking about compartmentalization, disclosure. What are your thoughts on Colonel Corso and the involvement, the potential involvement? It's kind of a two-part question of NASA. We have a witness that for NASA that walked into a room and witnessed the airbrushing out of objects possibly or something on images from the moon and in other places. What are your feelings on the whole idea of back engineering alien technologies and
it ain't easy. That's the first thing, is that back engineering is not easy. My analogy that I use for people is, suppose you gave Christopher Columbus a nuclear sub and said, Chris, you're a great guy, you discovered a whole new world. We got a little problem here. We need two more of these. Money is no object. Could you build us those, please, within the next 10 years, let's say?
And I'll tell you what, we'll see what Chris Columbus will do with that admonition to build that particular invention, or send him an iPhone, too. So see if we can build that one. Stan Friedman joins us. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack! Attack! Of the Rockaways. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockaways lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack! Attack! Of the Rockaways is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack! Attack! Of the Rockaways, a novel in the grand science fiction tradition.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Stan, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding, made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month had completely vanished.
Usually you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, CrossbreedHolsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
The food storage industry leader has done it again. Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it, now you can. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go. Now you can build food storage without going into debt. Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month. Our clubs work with everyone's budget. Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
This is Hilly Rose, and I hope that you do listen to the Paracast because you will learn a great deal about the paranormal.
Stan Friedman joins us for a fast-moving session. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. You're in the Paracast. So if Chris Columbus is being confronted with this advanced technology, what could he do? Having all the resources of the planet, nothing, right?
That's right. If you gave the smartest people on the planet, let's say 75 years ago, a digital wristwatch from today, you know, a $25 item if you get a good one, could he have made another one? Not a chance. I mean, he'd have known it was a watch, and he'd know there's a battery in there, but he couldn't have analyzed the chip in the first place. Even if he could, and I'll guarantee you he couldn't, he wouldn't have been able to duplicate it. So back engineering is not easy. It's not enough to say, oh, it's made out of iron, cobalt, and nickel. Yeah, but what conditions were used to make it? And what little bits of impurities make the difference? And you know, uranium, 0.7% is U-235. We spent an awful lot of money in World War II trying to get that 0.7%. The big facility at Oak Ridge, a mile-long gaseous diffusion plant, it took 5% of the electrical power of the United States. That's why it was in Tennessee, TVA, to run that plant. In secret, mind you, I better add.
Yeah, with tens of thousands of people involved in the whole, city.
Many of them who had no idea what was going on. When this meter shows this reading, you turn the dial, you know, you turn the handle this way, that kind of thing.
Well, are you calling into question, Corso's particular?
Oh, very much so. Yeah, I met the good colonel. We've done television shows, or radio shows. He was a wannabe. What I'm saying is, he was a nice little old man, but he was a lieutenant colonel during most of his years of service. He became a colonel when he retired. But the outfit he worked with under General Trudeau at the Pentagon had two people in it, and he was a junior officer. This was 1960. We found the other guy, except he was in the hospital, the guy who was his boss, and he never got out of the hospital alive anyway, so I couldn't verify anything with him. But, of course, I was not an engineer or a scientist. Many people have confused the fact that the Foreign Technology Division at the Pentagon had nothing to do with the Foreign Technology Division at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. I had some dealings with them back in the 60s, as a matter of fact, same time he was working with his group. And they had loads of engineers and scientists. We know they got wreckage in 1947. Are we supposed to believe that the government did nothing with that until Trudeau turned over a filing cabinet of pieces of wreckage to Corso to figure out what was going on? I don't believe it for a minute.
But, you know, there's a question here, though. We have this guy Corso, and he has a distinguished record as a military officer.
Well,
did he just make it up?
Yeah, what would be the motivation?
Well, hey, I'm a dumb old physicist, not a psychiatrist. I don't understand the reasons a lot of people do lots of things, but the idea was to leave a legacy for his kids, make a ton of money. The book did pretty well. I remember that Strom Thurmond, who supposedly wrote the foreword for the book, withdrew it when he found out what the book really was instead of what he thought it was. That probably sold 10,000 books, you know, like banning a movie in Boston. You guys aren't old enough for that. When they did that, that would guarantee a bigger audience for the movie. I don't know why. For example, his story about being at Fort Riley on July 6th, his bowling buddy tipped him off that there was a box in there with an alien body in it, or a blue fluid and a body in it. Now, in the first place, it's a total violation of security. You would never have such a body traipsing around without guards with it all the time. I mean, one would think that guys carrying nuclear weapons components would park their truck outside a McDonald's and go in for lunch. It doesn't work that way. I asked him how he knew it was July 6th. Well, I know when I was transferred there. It turns out that was March or April of 47. So that's no answer at all. It doesn't fit with what we know about Roswell.
So basically here we are saying basically the long and short of it is Corso made it all up. Is that what you're saying?
It may have taken bits and pieces of true stories and mixed them in with fiction. I know that he wrote the I contacted the Army Archives to get more information about Corso, and I did. And it turned out he had been sending letters. He was going to write things up, looking for stuff for his book. I won't say he made it all up. Well, let me give you one specific example, which he certainly made up. He signed a sworn statement for Peter Gersten, attorney Peter Gersten, right there in Arizona, that he had been a member of the National Security Council. That's the highest advisory body to the president on national security matters. I checked. I couldn't imagine why he would have been. I checked with the Eisenhower Library in Abilene, Kansas. I've been there. They know me. They sent me a letter saying he not only was not a member, but he never attended a meeting. I sent a copy of that to Peter. He showed it to Corso. Shouldn't we take that out of your sworn statement? Because they were going to use it to try to get his background from the government. And Corso said no. Now, that's very strange behavior. The easiest thing in the world, in other words, for the government to say, well, this is baloney. If I could find out that, and anybody else could have bothered to ask the question. So that's why I am dubious. Do I think he's a nasty, evil man? Of course not.
Well, do you think maybe he was a ringer? They brought him in to further discredit the field by making outrageous claims that wouldn't stand up to scrutiny. To say you're on the National Security Council and then not be, I mean, that's easy to check. I mean, it's not like there's nothing.
Well, but many people in ufology don't check things. You know, there's the old Robert Scott Lazar with his master's degree in physics from MIT and another one from Caltech in electronics.
Well, let's talk about some real scientists here. How about the Skinwalker Ranch with the National Institute of Discovery scientists going up there and chasing their tail? In stories and rumors have come out about some pretty fantastic events that have occurred up there that seem to be ufological in nature, but also have a paranormal aspect to them. And I'm talking world-class science allegedly as being performed up there. What are your feelings about where the paranormal aspect of this ties in with the ufological question? The Skinwalker Ranch would be a really good example of the meshing of the two.
Frankly, I would be astonished if an advanced technological civilization, you know, maybe 500 years ahead of us, no less 5 million, didn't have a paranormal aspect to it. I would expect them to know about telepathy, for example. I would expect them to figure out how to, the crazy thing of taking people through walls or through windows without breaking them, you know, assemble, disassemble, whatever. I would expect them to know about the spirit world and life after death and a whole bunch of things, which we look down our noses on. Of course, we do about a lot of other things that turn out to be.
So it's like the Arthur C. Clarke quote. Any sufficient technology ahead of ours is going to appear as if magic, in other words.
Yeah, I think that's true, and I think we neglect that at our peril. The thing is, we don't know everything, and I have to constantly come back to that point to people, because we don't know how to do it doesn't mean it can't be done. We are a very young, primitive society. We discovered the neutron in 1932, first atomic bomb in 1945, first H-bomb, 1952, and, you know, I like to scare people a little, but that first H-bomb, the fireball was 3 miles wide. It released as much energy as exploding 10 million tons of TNT. In World War II, say 1942, 10 years earlier, a big bomb was a 10-ton blockbuster. It took a B-29 to carry that. And yet, here's something that releases the energy of 10 million tons. Now, anybody who thinks we can't use fusion for deep space propulsion, that's the reason for bringing this up.
I'll tell you what, we'll get into fusion, but we have to fuse some advertising messages coming up next.
Oh, well.
Stanton Friedman, that's how it goes. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you ready to order the official Paracast t-shirt? You asked, we answered. We're now taking orders for the official Paracast t-shirt. It comes in white, 100% cotton. The front of it features the same logo that we have on our community forums. On the back it says, Separating Signal from Noise. To order the official Paracast t-shirt, here's all you have to do. Visit our new online store at store.theparacast.com. One more time, that's store.theparacast.com. You can use a major credit card to place your order for the official Paracast t-shirt. Hey neighbors, we have one more thing to talk about, and that's more merchandise at the official Paracast store. We have hats, we have jackets, we even have a flip video camcorder customized with the Paracast logo at the official Paracast store. It's all now available at the official Paracast store, store.theparacast.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. Day complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include 3 sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, 3 sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653, or order online at goberkey.com. That's goberkey.com today.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal. But something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait. There's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to libertystickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. libertystickers.com. The world's most dangerous stickers.
After my second heart attack, I knew I needed more help than I had. That's when Extendivite came into my life. Made from garlic, cayenne, and five other herbs, I started to feel better in a very short time. My name's Don Wiskin, and I'm here because of Extendivite.
Extendivite gave me more energy than I've had in years. I am the only one in my house right now that's not sick from colds or flus. And I owe that all to Extendivite. My name is Rick, and I'm healthy because of Extendivite. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit the website at heartdrop.com. That's heartdrop.com. Extend your life with
Extendivite. On air, online, and on demand, we are the GCN Radio Network.
You're in the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
We're back with Stanton Friedman. Our co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. When we interrupted you, Stan, we were talking about energy and UFOs.
Well, yeah, that's why I brought up the SETI guys and they're not seeming to be aware of what's going on out there. We have operated nuclear rockets, fission rockets, operating at a power level of 4,400 megawatts. That's twice the power of Grand Coulee Dam. This was Los Alamos built that. It was tested in, like, 1969 out at the nuclear test site. It was under 7 feet in diameter. Twice the power of Grand Coulee Dam. That's nuclear fission. When I worked at Westinghouse, we tested one. It was smaller, but still very impressive. Now, I was involved in a study on fusion propulsion systems. If you use the right stuff in the right way and kick particles out the back end of a rocket, having 10 million times as much energy per particle as they can get in a dumb old chemical rocket. So these guys who think that, you know, chemical rockets are the only way to go out there, folks, they're still in the Magellan sailboat era of 3 years to get around the planet instead of 90 minutes. That's an improvement of a factor of 15,000 in less than 500 years. That'll be 500 years pretty soon. So what I'm saying is we need to be more realistic about what we already know. And if we know this with such a slim history behind us of advanced technology, first flight, 1903, remember, British Astronomer Royal saying space travel is utter bilge. That was 1 year before Sputnik went up. What about somebody who's been around a little longer, a million years, a billion years? Zeta Reticuli out there is at least a billion years older than the sun.
So the point being, Stan, the long and short of it is, the things that we put in the realm of the paranormal, beyond just spaceships coming here, all these side events, It may just be because they are so far in advance of us that what they're doing looks to be paranormal, mystical.
Right. I think that's a very accurate representation of it. And I think we need to be humble to realize that the change of our knowledge, the rate of change, hasn't stopped any. Moore's law still holds. You double the number of transistors on a hunk of silicon every couple of years, which means after 40 years, boy, does that computer on your desk look impressive. I was using a slide rule when I started working industry.
And I could tell you about the iPhone that I have in my hand now.
Well, yeah, now that's truly remarkable, and I don't even have one. But nobody in two classes at the University of Detroit knew what a slide rule was when I said that. And that was less than 50 years. So what I'm saying is any realistic evaluation of the rate of change of technology says if you throw enough money and enough people at it, you're going to get changes, and they're going to come rapidly. And we're foolish if we ignore that fact. That doesn't mean aliens aren't coming here, and it doesn't mean we haven't tried to learn from wreckage at Roswell and other crash sites. It means that we have to be realistic in assessing our state of knowledge versus what we will know not too far in the future. I have a great-grandson. He's sure going to grow up in a very different world from this.
Well, here's another question along those lines. One of our posters on the forums asks, what are your thoughts on Nick Cook's book on anti-grav technologies? What do you think our level of attainment in that particular realm is? Humans
pretty low.
Pretty low.
I'm not as impressed on both the Nazi stuff and others. I think there are people who don't realize there's a difference between what we'd like to build, and here's a fancy drawing of it by our very sharp artists, and what we have built. Talk is cheap. Production is not. And I run into this all the time.
So you don't think there was a Nazi saucer program that's been co-opted by the U.S. and the Nazis were able to attain stable flight and the rest of it?
And when one of their craft came out of Argentina and crashed at Roswell, and that's the secret the government doesn't want us to know about, that the Nazis were still going strong. No, I don't buy it. And partly because, as I just said, they talk about drawings and sketches and discussions. Of course, a saucer is an ideal craft and can take off and land from a space not much bigger than itself, can move in all directions, go this way, then that way, straight up and down, back and forth. Ideal craft, no question the Germans would like to have built one. Look at the Avro car. Canadians were building one, too. But it didn't have the propulsion system. You know, it was incapable of doing what saucers can do, even though it looked like a saucer.
Well, they could barely get it 3 feet off the ground.
Well, hey, that's better than none. You know,
so you don't really think that we've made any significant strides, I guess, technologically in the realm of anti-grav technology, even at this point in history?
I don't think we've reduced it to practice that has been able to build systems. I think we have looked at magneto-aerodynamic systems, MAD, which I like the acronym.
Well, they say it about me all the time, MAD.
Yeah, well, I did a literature search when I was in industry way back, 40 years ago. Only government documents, and that was the key word, magneto-aerodynamics. I got 900 references. This is not the open scientific literature. This is government reports. When you work on government-sponsored programs, you got to write reports, all kinds of reports, a quarterly, semi-annual, annual, you know, technical ones, all sorts of stuff. I got 900 hits, if you will, 900 documents. I had abstracts for 900 documents. 90% of them were classified. This is back in 1970, magneto-aerodynamics. And so whether we have enhanced, reduced the drag on aircraft by ionized graph, it turns out you can control lift, drag, heating, all kinds of stuff. And I'm sure we're working on that technology. And I'm sure we'd certainly like to be able to use gravity control, if you will. But I don't think we've accomplished it yet. Remember that the only guys with dough enough to do this are the military. And once you build this system, you use it because you want to tell the other guy, hey, watch out for us, buddy. We'll clobber you if you attack us. We use stealth fighters in a war. Go for it. And, you know, every other high-tech development, if you will, we use it.
Well, wouldn't that so be a – I mean, we're already so far ahead of everybody else with conventional technology. Wouldn't that be a case of an ace in the hole that you only whip out if you absolutely have to?
Well, but I would dispute your initial assumption. You know, we underestimated a lot of people. General Groves, who was in charge of the Manhattan Project to develop atomic bombs, in like 1948 said it would be at least 8 years before the Russians could build an atomic bomb. And they don't have any methods for delivering them either. Well, in 1949, August, the Russians built their first, exploded their first atomic bomb. Building is one thing, exploding is quite something else. And they had copied a B-29 that we had left over there, and they had means for delivering them. scariest memo I ever saw. I've been to 20 archives, some of them many times. Scariest memo was a National Security Council item that had been declassified, in which it was stated, this is the early 50s, the Russians had made more progress in the development of nuclear weapons and methods for delivering them in the last 18 months than had been expected for 5 years. Don't think that didn't scare the hell out of people. We thought they were dumb peasants, you know. They didn't have the benefit of our wonderful technology and society. They did have slave labor, incidentally, and we had some very smart people. So what I'm saying is we sit back and think we're on top of the heap. The British did that, too. In the history of the Second World War, if you look at things like Dunkirk and what happened down in Asia, you know, if there hadn't been a lot of good fishermen with little boats off the coast of France, the Second World War might have gone altogether differently. The Brits thought they had a lock on it. We got better armies than the Germans, better tanks, better planes. Simple matter is they didn't. Germans built the first jet engines, even though an English inventor, this is talked about in Science Was Wrong, even though an English inventor patented 1 year before a German inventor did, but they built the first one. And what a difference that would have made at the Battle of Britain. So what I'm saying is it's easy to say we're ahead of everybody. Remember, there apparently have been crashes elsewhere than the United States, down in Brazil and other places. And so I wouldn't take it for granted that we are automatically ahead of everybody else in designs of weapons and defense technology.
Yeah, but the same problem would apply there, Stan, wouldn't it? That if we have evidence of a highly advanced technology, the best scientists we have here may only get, you know, the rough edges, you know, some low-hanging fruit, and that's it. We have Stanton Friedman.
Good. I like that.
Our co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.